Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790KFYO. Joining me right now to talk a little Texas and national politics, GOP political strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning.
Morning, Chad. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Great. Let's talk a little bit, a few national publications taking a look at the state of Texas over the weekend. The Wall Street Journal with their big headline that Wendy Davis struggling to gain traction in the Texas governor's race. You had one poll that showed Wendy Davis closing in at 9%, and then you had a different poll that came out Friday, I believe from Rasmussen, that said, nah, she's back at 11%. How do you think this race is going right now for the Wendy Davis campaign?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think she is, you know, if the polls are accurate, she is now where she needed to be 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, she, you know, we're 2 weeks from today, the early voting starts. There's very little time left. And if you look at the two campaigns, the 30-day reports, financial reports are due today by the end of the day, so we will soon know what each campaign has. But Abbott's campaign last week said they have $30 million in the bank. I can assure you, Wendy and Battleground Texas don't have anything near anywhere near that. So he's going to basically have ad supremacy all through early voting and all through, you know, all the way through Election Day. So it's hard for me to see how she's going to be able to continue to tighten the race if he has a significant spending advantage. Keep in mind, she went up on the air first. She's been very harshly negative. Anytime you run negative ads, they have an effect. And so I'm sure that they brought Abbott down a little bit. She spent millions of dollars in negative ads since really about mid-August. But, you know, the question is, you know, is this race, you know, at all in a competitive stage? And I just have a very tough time seeing how it is. You know, a 9-point disadvantage for her is something her campaign wants to, you know, cartwheels over. But if you look, you know, even the national prognosticators are not even beginning to look at this race. The Washington Post late last week ranked their 13 most competitive governor's races. They updated it from their 12 most competitive of the month before, and Texas wasn't even on the list. So at the end of the day, Chad, I just don't see how she gets it from, if you presume that those polls are correct, you go from 9 or 11 points, could she get it down to 5 or 7? At this point, I don't see that. I would make one other point. Texas Lyceum 4 years ago polled as well, late in the year, you know, 6 weeks from the election. They had Bill White down 5 points. He ended up losing by 13 points. So I think there is some question about their methodology in terms of the polling results they've had.
Very good point. If Wendy Davis loses by double digits, and I think she will, what does that say about Battleground Texas and their whole effort to turn Texas blue, or at least in this race, turn it purple? You know, they've been trying to do this by at least 2016, turn Texas blue. I don't think they're anywhere close to it. But what does this say about their whole operation, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a huge question. I mean, in fact, kind of the most important question of this entire political cycle, because I don't think any of the statewide offices are in any real question. You have one congressional race that's competitive in San Antonio. You have a handful of state house races. You have one state senate race. And those are all interesting races. But if you think about something that impacts the overall state, yes, whether Battleground Texas can credibly claim that this was a successful 2-year cycle for them, I think is the key question coming out of this election. I think at some level, Chad, you know, they're going to be able to claim some success as long as Wendy overperforms Bill White. Bill White got 42.4% 4 years ago. Bill White was not a good candidate, didn't put much of a campaign together, didn't get much help. So in a way, it's a pretty low bar to clear if you consider how much money Battleground Texas and Wendy have raised. Keep in mind, Wendy's raised more money for governor than any Democrat in the history of the state of Texas. So, you know, clearing that low bar from Bill White is not hard. I think if they don't clear that bar, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to make the case they should continue. But I think from their standpoint, and you're already starting to see them, you know, move the goalposts a little bit. They're going to talk about how many volunteers, how many they knocked. They're going to, you know, look, scour the state for any positive numbers they can have in terms of minority voter turnout in some key counties. So, you know, look, they're, at the end of the day, they're going to call the election a success no matter what happens, because because they want to keep the gravy train going. As of June, the firm that launched Battleground Texas, which was launched by Jeremy Burr, the field director of Obama 2012, paid over $300,000 by Wendy and by Battleground Texas.
Wow.
My guess is that figure will double between now and Election Day. So they want to keep the gravy train running. I'm a political consultant. I can understand that. But on the other hand, the real question is, are they having a real impact? I think Wendy's campaign believes they are. They believe they're going to overperform the polls. They believe they have the strongest field organization and voter contact organization Texas has ever seen. And I think most Republicans, and I've seen some private polling that show that Abbott's lead is larger than the 9 point or 11 point margin that's out there. So somebody's right, somebody's wrong, and we're going to find out on November 4th.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP political strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, obviously the Ebola news is front mind, front page, just about everywhere in the state of Texas and throughout the United States. There was an article yesterday that came out, or over the weekend, that came out about how this is another place for Rick Perry to show his leadership. And I guess it is, but how does Rick Perry go from, okay, we're going to use this to show leadership, but also we don't want to overplay our hand and play on what, could be really scaring a lot of people out there?
Yeah, and I would add something else to that. I would say that even if the state does a great job, they don't control all the rules.
Right.
So Perry can do a great job. The state HHS department can do a great job. HHSC can do a great job. The hospital in Dallas can do a great job. But, you still have flights coming into the U.S. You still have other potential people out there who may not yet be symptomatic. I mean, I don't want to create a panic either. But I would say that I think the threat from Ebola is more significant than the government is letting on. I would also say, though, that we have practices in America that make it very unlikely for an Ebola outbreak to truly become uncontrollable or become a significant threat.
Yeah.
Just in the way we practice at hospitals and just the way that most people go through their daily lives. But again, so to answer your question, I think the governor has a chance again to demonstrate leadership. He did it on the border, and the contrast with President Obama was striking and positive and helpful for Governor Perry. I think obviously holding the press conference, I think he's doing something today. He's announcing some type of additional preparedness effort in Texas today. I think it's mid-morning or late morning today. It is. It's an opportunity for him to, again, show that he's executive, show that he's governor, remind people that he's more than the caricature that people remember from 2012. But I would caution just to say that, the state of Texas and Governor Perry don't control all the variables in this situation. It's a very complicated situation, and if you look at what's happening in West Africa, we do not yet have our hands a handle on this Ebola situation over there, and the challenges over there, the logistical and health challenges over there, are enormous.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, what can people find on MustReadTexas.com today?
Yeah, beginning to update it from over the weekend. One thing that caught my eye is the Wall Street Journal editorialized about the 9-year failed prosecution of Tom DeLay, which reached its conclusion late last week. And they singled out the Travis County District Attorney's Office, which, of course, has indicted Governor Perry, and he's currently facing those two felony counts. So I thought that was of interest, that the Tom DeLay failed prosecution is being seen as being related to the Perry situation. So lots of news there, lots of news on the governor's race. I'm sure there's lots of news from the polls last week. You can find it all on MustReadTexas.com and signed up for our newsletter.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, as always, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
You too.